Newsline Washington. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the economic numbers just keep getting worse. You know they've been plummeting on Wall Street. And then on Friday, we learn of the biggest unemployment percentage since 1983. We'll discuss the depth of the problem and the smartest path towards recovery when we're joined by Robert Lentzner, contributing editor and columnist with Forbes magazine. Also in this edition, another perspective on the healthcare summit. We'll talk with Joe Antos of the American Enterprise Institute about the Obama prescription for healthcare reform and whether it's the right road for America. Plus, the disturbing case of Army Captain Roger Hill. We'll speak with retired Air Force General Tom McInerney about how the government is prosecuting Hill for an interrogation that took place in Afghanistan. We'll give you the details of the case and let you decide whether Hill is justly being prosecuted or if the government's going too far. And what child is this? The Capitol steps have a little bit of fun with the new mother of octuplets. All that, plus our top news at week's end, is straight ahead on Dateline Washington. We begin with Robert Lentzner of Forbes, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Robert Lentzner, a contributing editor and columnist for Forbes magazine. We've asked him to offer his thoughts on the latest dismal economic figures, the latest downturns on Wall Street, as well as the Washington attempts to fix the series of economic problems this country faces. And Bob, thanks so much for being with us.
Not at all. Glad to do it.
Let's start with Friday's jobless numbers. 8.1% unemployment, the worst since the end of 1983,
right,
and 651,000 jobs lost in the month of February. What does this tell us?
The deterioration of the economy is going at a pace faster than we expected, and that there are going to probably be many more months like this, and that probably the stimulus plan is not going to be enough, particularly in as much as only $200 billion of the $700 billion are going to be spent during 2009. I would have much preferred if the entire $700 billion were put to work right now in 2009, because the decline in activity worldwide is accelerating. The markets are receding faster, and we're in an extremely dangerous situation.
What do you see, Bob, as the biggest reason? There are clearly several reasons for all of this.
The biggest reason, there are two big reasons, okay? The first big reason is what started it all, which is home prices declining. Home prices have declined 25%, and people that I respect say they could decline another 15 to 20 to 25%. That is really scary. That's the first thing. Until home prices stabilize so that the consumer, the ordinary person, can be confident that the value of his home is going to stay stable, we're in bad shape. The follows from that is consumer spending. That the consumer is got so much debt, and his assets, on the asset side of his ledger, he's seen his stock holdings cut, let's say, by 50%, and his home by 25%. That's a serious loss of household wealth. And on the other side, the consumer has these credit cards and his mortgage payments that he's having difficulty paying. So consumers, even if they straighten out this financial thing, consumers have to save money and get themselves in better balance, and that may take years. So both of those two, they're related. They're sort of cousins, if you will, in the major, I would say, if you were trying to explain to your Aunt Sadie what's happening here, Aunt Sadie, it's that our home is declining in value, and in some cases the dollar figure of the mortgage is higher than what the home is worth in the marketplace. And second of all, as unemployment rises, the consumer is getting more and more strapped, pay off his debts, and do more consumption.
Bob, we're obviously seeing the highest unemployment rates in more than 25 years now.
Right.
We're also seeing pretty much a free fall on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Are the same factors in play, or is it a different story, at least
same,
a little bit on Wall
factors.
Street?
Well, there's one extra factor than in Wall Street, and that is the total lack of confidence in the stability of our major financial institutions. You know, household names like Merrill Lynch and Citigroup and J.P. Morgan and Bank of America and Wells Fargo. You know, we bailed out AIG, we bailed out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and what have they done for us? Cost us more money, cost Uncle Sam more money. So I think that the ordinary person is bewildered by all this. I don't blame them. and very angry about it and sees the shares of these financial institutions losing value every single day.
How exactly does confidence manifest itself in plunging stock prices? Do people just decide to sell because they're not sure what's coming next and they don't think these banks are going to come
through?
Well,
there's a lot of professional people that are taking advantage who kind of have the inside track on knowing that these major banks are insolvent, so they're trying to make money by on the other side by shorting the stock or by selling short their bonds in the credit market by the fact that most investment intermediaries are not going to be recommending buying shares of financial institutions right now. I feel that we need more radical public policy with more bold impact from Obama administration than we've had so far, and that we shouldn't be trying to solve every single problem of the United States all at the same time, that we need to stabilize this financial and economic situation. And we need to do that first. We should concentrate all our firepower on doing that. And once we get that done, then we can tackle health, redistribution of income, education, the environment, Social Security, you know, like that. That's what I think, but they're doing the opposite of that.
Let's bring the last two points you made together now here, Bob, because a lot of people say what's happening with our economic statistics, and especially what's happening on Wall Street, is because there hasn't been a clear banking reform policy coming out of Washington.
I completely agree with that. A clear reform package that's easy to understand and that they execute instead of doing it incident by incident, week by week, bank by bank. Let's get bold here. Let's get all of the garbage out of these zombie banks and put it into some kind of reconstruction finance corporation like they did in the 1930s. There are all these very smart financial experts who have lost their jobs on Wall Street. Let's put them to work at $75,000 a year instead of $500,000 and overseen by the government. And let's clean the stuff out of Wall Street, purge it of all of its bacteria, then overhaul the boards of the banks, exchange the turn the preferred stock investments of the government into common stock, and ride herd on these banks until they can be made healthy again.
We're talking with Robert Lenzner, contributing editor and columnist for Forbes magazine. And Bob, another article in Forbes magazine written by a couple of your colleagues says that the markets have lost confidence already in Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. Is it because they haven't seen the policy we've just talked about it, or is there something else that they don't like?
Well, the whole thing about Geithner started off on the bad foot about his tax problems. Had this been a normal time and he was going to be made Secretary of the Treasury, I think because of the tax, his tax things that he did, he might have had to resign as president of the New York Federal Reserve Bank. But as it was, they waved him in. And he doesn't have a deputy secretary of the Treasury. He doesn't have an assistant secretary of the Treasury for tax. He doesn't have an assistant secretary of the Treasury for international. So how can he be doing this? I just don't think he's bold enough. And what I'm told is that the White House does not want to consult with anybody from New York because they may be now or in the future beneficiaries of Uncle Sam's largesse, which I think is a mistake. I mean, I think they should form a commission of the smartest, most honest guys and work hand in hand, just like they did in the 1930s.
Bob, in terms of the staffing at Treasury, which you just mentioned, none of Geithner's deputies, as you mentioned, or assistant secretaries of Treasury have even been nominated, much less confirmed by the Senate.
That today, I have not seen the Wall Street Journal. I haven't had time to read the paper today, but I'm told that there's some woman who was to be nominated as deputy secretary of the Treasury, and she took her name out of the running because of the way that exhaustive process of inquiry into her affairs. So
that could be an issue as well. But given the fact that all those positions remain vacant, what we're hearing is that the people who would normally be doing the negotiating with the banks about credit lines and TARP money and all sorts of things, all that is in a stalled motion
right
now.
So who's in charge? Larry Summers and Geithner and who else? So there's talk about the nationalization of the banks is we don't have the civil servants to do the damn thing, even if we did it. So it's a ridiculous notion. Sounds good, but we have a really serious problem I know there's a lot of, I've discussed it with people, there's a lot of technical problems to do what I've suggested doing, but in a time of emergency, I think you waive some of these nagging little bureaucratic and even regulatory hang-ups and get the job done. That's what I would try to do. I'm sure the country would understand.
So about 90 seconds left here, Bob. We've done a good job of diagnosing the problem here and obviously looking at some of the solutions, especially as it relates to the banks. Quick bullet points here. What should the Obama team and even congressional leaders put on their checklist first and foremost right now?
If I were doing it, but I would try to change the arrangement of the stimulus bill and use as much of the $700 billion immediately this year as I could. That's the first thing I would do. The second thing that I would do is I would not try to raise taxes on the rich, and in order to have the health plan at the same time that we're doing Social Security, at the same time that we're doing energy, at the same time we're trying to bail out Wall Street, I would do one thing at a time, because it's going to require enormous it's already required enormous resources to stabilize Wall Street. I think so. No one. Perhaps $5 to $7 trillion of loans or investments or guarantees. Okay, it may cost trillions more to do it. So you know what? We can't afford to do all these things right now in the first 6 months of the Obama administration. Let's do it piece by piece.
Bob, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Not at all. Enjoyed it very much.
Robert Lenzner is a contributing editor and columnist for Forbes magazine. Still ahead on Dateline Washington, our end-of-the-week fun with the Capital Steps. We'll also take a close look at the healthcare policy of the Obama administration with Joe Antos of the American Enterprise Institute. And when we come back, is an American soldier getting shafted by his own government? Stay tuned.